Awesome. Would you guys give it up one more time for New City Kids? They're going to be back in a little bit as well. I want to encourage you, if you have your phones with you, go ahead and take those out. Hopefully, as you walked in, you received our card about our online program. If this is your first time with us, everything that you need to know about that service is going to be in that online program. And if you'll go ahead, you can open up your notes there and begin taking notes as we begin walking through this conversation. You're also going to find your memory verse on there, which is going to be really important as we move through this as well. I'm really excited today. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Chris High. I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. And I'm really excited today, not just because we have New City Kids with us, but because we're kicking off this new conversation called Payout. And looking at the idea and the process of decision making. Now, I don't know about you, but I struggle with decision making. And in particular, I think the aspect of decision making that I struggle with the most is that I tend to be short-sighted. I tend to make a decision in a moment, not necessarily thinking about how that's going to impact me in the long term. Now, I know impacts decision and decisions impact me long term because I can look back on certain decisions and whether it's for good or for bad, I can see just the overwhelming fruit that they've brought into my life. And sometimes I look back and I look at good decisions and I'm overwhelmed by just how much good has come out of them, far, far greater than what I originally thought. Or I look back on a bad decision and I'm amazed at just the pain that can come from one decision. I think back about my decision to marry Anna, my wife, and this is a good one, okay? Just in case you start getting nervous here, all right? This is an example of a good one. I look back on that decision, and I knew it was the right decision. I knew it was a good decision, but I had no idea just how much good was going to come from that. And sometimes I look back on it, I'm amazed. I'm overwhelmed by it. I think about our decision to plant Hoboken Grace, and we wanted to impact our community. We believe God wanted to do something amazing in our community. But to look back on it now and see all of the good that's come from it, it's overwhelming. And so I see it. I see it good. I see it bad. I grew up on a farm, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more as we walk through this conversation today. But part of growing up on a farm, and I grew up on a farm that was thriving, that was growing, and part of the deal was that as kids, we were hired to be able to work on the farm. We didn't get paid a lot, but we got paid. And so whenever we wanted something, we just needed to work. And because the farm was growing and thriving, there was always unlimited amounts of work to be done. So you could just work and work and work and work. Well, financially, this brought me into the mindset that if you want something, you just work a little bit more and you can get it. You can have whatever you want. And so as teenagers, if we wanted to, you know, new clothes, even when it came to cars, if we wanted it, we could have it. We would just start working 16, 18 hours days to be able to make more money, and we'd be able to buy whatever it was that we wanted. It was interesting because after I left the farm, I learned, shockingly to me, that the rest of the world doesn't work that way, right? And some of you know that you can't just keep working, and then you get older and you realize that your body doesn't work that way and your life doesn't work that way anymore either. But because of the decisions that I had made concerning finances and money early on, as I lived my life, I handled my money in ways that were really destructive. And it's interesting to look back how that impacted me for so long, the way that I interacted with, viewed, and the decisions I made about money. On a little more serious note, as I was preparing for this conversation, I thought back, and the truth is, I can remember exactly where I was the first time that I watched pornography. I remember it like it was yesterday. I know exactly where I was. I know the situation perfectly. And in that moment, I thought, okay, this is a bad decision. And this is not going to bring good things into my life. But you look back on it, and I remember that, and I'm overwhelmed by just the incredible amount of pain and destruction. and all the battles that had to be fought for years because of that one decision. The truth is, I often look back on decisions, and as I look back on decisions, I realize that decisions last for more than a moment. I understand that decisions last for more than a moment. I can see it, but yet I still struggle with being short-sighted in my decisions. And I think for many of us, as we interact with the decisions that we make, I think for a lot of us, we struggle with this. And sometimes it's small. Sometimes it's what we eat, right? And you're looking at that thing and you want it and it's calling out to you. Some of you walked in today and you're on a diet and we did everything that we could to love you and care for you. So we surrounded you with tables covered with donuts. And you looked at it and you said, I want that. And then you went for it. That happened to me this week. Not regarding donuts, but Wednesday afternoon, I was sitting there and I needed to eat lunch, and all of a sudden I had a craving for hot wings. Now, I know based on past decisions that if I eat hot wings for lunch, the rest of my day is shot, okay? I'm just living in the bathroom. That's it. The rest of my day, that's my reality. But in the moment, I wanted the hot wings. And so I lived the rest of the day in the bathroom. Sometimes it's small things, but then sometimes it's big things. We walk into it and we just want that. And so I want to make that much money. And so we take the job. Even though the truth is, if we were to look at the career path that we're putting ourselves on, the demands of that career path and the lifestyle of that career path, we would never have made that choice. Or you're in a relationship and you're caught up in the moment and the emotion of it, so you want to be with that person. But if you were to step back and to really ask yourself, okay, is this what I want my life to look like long term? Is this really going to be the person that I want to be? The father to my children or the mother to my children? Is this the person that I want to spend the rest of my life with? You'd make a different decision. Or you look at that drink, or that pill, and you're just like, I just want it. And we know the principle that decisions last for more than a moment. We know the truth. We've seen it. We can attest to it. We can look back on previous decisions and see it as clear as day. But in the moment, we continue to be short-sighted. Why? I think the truth is we could probably spend the rest of the year talking about this. And there's probably all sorts of different things that factor into it. But what I want to do for the next 6 weeks is I want to walk us through two things that I believe the Scriptures introduce into our lives to influence and to answer that question why, or to change how we interact with and view the long-term impact of our decisions and the mentality and mindset that we can bring into those decisions so that we can make decisions that we look back on gratefully as opposed to regretfully. The first one we're going to be talking about for the first 5 weeks, and we're going to be breaking down that principle today, and then we're going to be bringing it into all sorts of different areas of our life. And the last one we're going to talk about on the 6 weeks is really, really powerful. And the first one is actually tied to a principle that I think a lot of us think we understand. Because we understand that listen, this decision is going to impact me over time. And oftentimes we refer to it as you reap what you sow. And I'm aware of the principle of you reap what you sow. As a matter of fact, sometimes we'll share it with one another. Maybe you've shared it with someone before that, listen, you reap what you sow. And so when you make a decision, there's going to be an impact to that decision. There's going to be a consequence to that decision. But I think that we've misunderstood this concept. Because the scriptures, and it's actually God who teaches us this concept. Maybe you're not aware of that. But the idea of reaping what you sow is actually a biblical principle. Maybe you just heard it as a saying, or maybe a friend shared it with you, or maybe you read it somewhere as a quote. But it's actually a biblical principle that God introduces into your life and my life. And I think for many of us, we think that we understand it, but I'm not positive that we do. At least not the way that God teaches it and is bringing it into our lives in order to impact the way that we make decisions and how we view the impact of our decisions long term. And so what I want to do today is I want to take you to the passage, and this is actually our memory verse for the series. I want to take you to the passage where God is teaching this to us. It's found in Galatians chapter 6. And in Galatians chapter 6, the writer of Galatians, Paul, is writing to the church at Galatia, and God is using him to teach this principle that you reap what you sow. Let me read it to you. Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Again, it's on your phone as your memory verse as well. It says, "Do not be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith." And so you see God communicating this idea that you reap what you sow. And it's interesting. I love this passage because it doesn't just share it from the perspective of a bad decision, but it also shares it from the perspective of the good decision. It steps in and says, listen. Pay attention to your decisions because your decisions are going to bring consequences. There's going to be an effect. There's going to be a byproduct of your decisions. And I think a lot of us hear that and we say, oh yeah, absolutely. And we think that we believe this principle, but I think based on my interactions with our church family and based upon my conversations with people about this idea of reaping what you sow, I think that we ascribe to the fact that there's a consequence. But to be honest with you, I think for most of us, it's more like karma than anything else. And so we say, well, you reap what you sow. In other words, if I plant this, then I'm going to get this. It's this idea of karma. But it's a very Western idea of karma. If you know true Buddhism, you know that karma isn't actually the idea that you get back what you give or what you do. That's the way we talk about it in a Western mindset. It actually means something far different in actual Buddhism. But I think for many of us, that's what the principle of you reap what you sow means. So we read that passage and we hear God saying to us, listen, if you do something bad, you're going to get something bad back. If you do something good, you're going to get something good back. If you do that, and you guys hear people talk about karma all the time, right? That, hey, listen, you know, if you do that, then someone's going to treat you that way. If you treat him that way, you're going to be treated that way. Or you see something happen to someone and say, well, that's just karma because I've seen them do the same thing to someone else. And so if I make this decision, then this is going to be what I reap in my life. I don't believe that that's what God's teaching. I believe there's far more to it than that. And I think our misunderstanding of this is why this decision doesn't impact our decisions, or is why this principle and this truth doesn't impact our decisions more than it currently does. Because we believe in karma. But I think God's teaching something far different. As a matter of fact, I mean, haven't you ever made a decision and looked back on it? And I used the example earlier of marrying Anna. Haven't you ever looked back on a decision and you think, oh, if I do this, then I'm going to get this back. But you look back on it, and it seems like it returns far more than what it was that you did or the decision that you made. And so I'm amazed when I look back at the decision to marry Anna, just how much good comes from it. It just seems like it's never ending. It just keeps coming and coming and coming and coming. Have you ever done that? Whether it's on a good or a bad, oftentimes I'll have conversations with people They'll talk to me about this principle, and they will have made a decision in their life, and they're trying to deal with that decision in their life, and they're trying to process that decision in their life. And it's interesting because oftentimes they'll sit down with me and they'll say, it seems like it just never ends. It seems like it just keeps going. I just keep having to deal with it. I keep having to face this. I keep being confronted with this over and over and over again. And in the middle of the conversation, I'll often say to them, oh, you believe in karma. You believe that if you planted this, then you would get this back. And they say, well, yeah, I mean, you reap what you sow. And I'll begin to walk them through this passage and the principle of the seed. It's something that, to be honest with you, I don't think very many of us understand. And the principle of the seed is something that's interwoven throughout the entire biblical narrative. As a matter of fact, it's introduced early on in Genesis, the idea of seed, the power of seed. The way that seed works, God's constantly referring to it as an illustration to help us understand the world in which we live and how we should live within it. And the writer of Galatians calls us back to it and says, listen, pay attention to your decisions. Because you reap what you sow. But for most of us, we don't understand. And the reason we don't understand is because we're not farmers. And the reason I know that you're not farmers is because you live in Hoboken. But then also, as we were putting together this series, I was amazed at just how far from farmers we are. Because we're putting together this series, and we put up this slide that had a picture of a kernel of corn on it. And I had person after person after person come up to me and say, what was that thing on the slide? Why'd you put a tooth on the slide? I'm like, that's not a tooth. How could you miss it? Like, I understand you're not a farmer, but you should at least know what a kernel of corn looks like. You eat it all the time. But we're not farmers. And so we don't understand the fullness of what God's trying to communicate to us inside this passage. Another situation in which Jesus is talking about the idea or the principle of the seed is in Mark chapter 4, verse 8. Let me take you there really quickly because I think it reveals how we just don't understand what he's trying to communicate to us. Mark 4, 8 says this. It says, still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Now, when you're not a farmer, you look at that passage and you say, oh my goodness, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. They planted the seed and it produced 30, 60, even 100 times more than what had been planted. If you're a farmer, you realize that's not a miracle. That's just the way seeds work. If you plant one kernel of seed corn, do you know what the return is? Naturally, just basic average for a seed of corn? 80-fold. It's not a miracle. It's just the way seeds work. Seeds don't return one for one. The picture that the writer of Galatians is calling us to, the picture he's trying to paint for us, is not a picture of something that returns one for one. He says, no. Consider seeds. Consider planting and harvesting. And he's talking to farmers. They're going to understand this. He's talking to a culture that would understand the principle of the seed. He says, when you're making your decisions, understand, you will sow what you reap. But that's not a one for one. Unfortunately, again, we don't understand this. And so inside of our decision-making, for the point of illustration, I'll use this because I think it will make it a little bit clearer. Inside our decision-making, oftentimes what will happen is we'll come to a decision and we'll look at it and we believe in karma. And so we believe, listen, if you do this, you're going to get this back. If you plant this, you're going to harvest this. So we look at that And in our minds, especially with decisions that are destructive, we'll look at it and we'll say, well, you know what? I can handle that. I mean, if that comes back to me, no problem. I can handle that. Or the other thing that we say to ourselves is this. I can hide that. I can hide that. Because we believe in karma. But here's the thing with the principle of seed. This doesn't return this. If you were to plant this much seed corn, I want to show you today what you would get back. If you plant that, go ahead and come over here, guys. This is what you get. Sorry for those of you who are in the front row and just got pelted with corn. If you plant this, this is what you get. But we don't understand. And so let me kind of walk you through how this works. We look at it and say, you know what, I can handle that. Or I can hide that. But then all of a sudden in our lives, this starts to happen. And it may take a little bit of time. But all of a sudden, just as you saw in that intro video, one hits, and another hits, and another, and another, and another, and another. And as it's pouring down, you look around and you say, what is happening? The writer of Galatians is trying to help you understand. This is how the world works. The world that God has brought you into, it operates on principles. And one of those principles is that you will harvest what you plant, but not one for one, but exponentially in your life. But we don't understand it. And so it starts to rain down on us. And here's what we do. This is how we process this. And I hear people saying this all the time. They're in the middle of this. And they're literally like knee deep in this. And it just keeps coming. And everywhere they turn, it's just there. And to be honest with you, as you watch me talk for the rest of the time here, I'm going to have to be really, really careful because I'm trying very carefully not to slip on this corn and fall flat on my face. Right? But isn't that how life works? You make that decision and all of a sudden it starts showing up and everywhere. And everywhere you step, it seems like it's underneath you and everything's uncertain. And you're like, I don't understand. I don't understand why it won't stop because we believe in karma. And the writer of Galatians said, no, it's not like that. But then also the other thing that we say in the midst of it is this. God is punishing me. And we look at it and it keeps coming and says, oh, God must be mad at me. God must be angry with me. God is punishing me. But the writer of Galatians says, no. This isn't God punishing you. This is the natural byproduct of that decision in your life. And when you sow to your selfishness and to your sinful nature, when you sow to lust, when you sow to greed, he says, this is what shows up in your life. And don't be surprised by it. Count on it. And I'll have conversations with people that say, I don't understand. It just keeps coming. Yes, it keeps coming because your decisions produce exponentially in your life. Exponentially in your life. And then the other thing that I encounter is this question, but I mean, what about grace? And I want to talk about that for just a moment because this is really important for you to understand. It's really important for us to grasp when we talk about grace all the time here at Hoboken Grace. And as we're walking through this, oftentimes as I'm encountering this situation in people's lives, they'll say to me, but what about grace? Because we look at this and we think, oh, that's the punishment for this. But that is not the punishment for this. The scriptures are really clear on this. The punishment for sin, the punishment for when we choose selfishness over love, the punishment for when we hurt those around us or we hurt the one who created us, the punishment for when we break those relationships, the scriptures are very clear. It never wavers. The punishment is not the consequences that you will experience in your life. No. The punishment for sin is death. It's death. It's to live your life eternally separated from God. And Jesus Christ goes to the cross and he says to every single one of us, listen, I'm going to take the punishment for your sin. I'm going to take the punishment for the ways that you've hurt the people around you, for the ways that you've hurt your Creator. I'm going to take the punishment for that. And I'm going to make it possible so that you never have to walk through this, good or bad, alone ever again. And I'm going to reunite you with God, and I'm going to bring you back into that relationship with Him. And if you will trust me, I will adopt you as my sons and my daughters, and our relationship will never be impacted by the decisions that you make. But the writer of Galatians comes in and says, but listen. Jesus Christ died so that you'd never have to pay the punishment. And Jesus Christ died so that you'd never, ever be alone as you walk through everything that this life has to offer. But pay attention. Jesus Christ did not die so that we could live our lives as fools. Jesus Christ did not die so that you could be a fool. And so oftentimes in your life, in my life, Jesus Christ comes in and the scriptures come in and say, listen, pay attention to the decisions that you're making. Look at how this is going to impact the world around you. Look at how this is going to impact your family. Look at how this is going to impact the people that you care about, because your decisions produce a harvest that's exponential. And sometimes it's difficult to hear. And as we've been walking through this morning, for many people, it's been really, really difficult to hear. But here's the thing you can count on about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not primarily concerned with having you feel better about the life you're living. He's concerned with you living better. And so the writer of Galatians comes in and says, no. Pay attention to the decisions and understand this principle that it's not one for one, but it produces exponentially in your life. And I love it because he doesn't just talk about it from the negative perspective. As a matter of fact, he spends more time talking about it from the positive perspective. And so he's writing to a church that has been following Christ and pursuing Christ, but it seems that as they look at their life, they haven't yet seen this begin to explode in their life. And so he's writing to them and saying, listen, don't mock the system. Don't mock what God has set up. Don't think that just because you haven't seen this yet that it's not going to show up. It's going to show up. The principle is consistent. It's going to show up. So don't get tired of choosing what is right. Don't get tired of loving. Don't get tired of giving your life for other people. Don't get tired of choosing to serve. Because eventually, it's going to show up. Eventually, you're going to reap the harvest. And when you do, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. So don't give up. As we walk through the next few weeks, what we want to do is we want to take this principle. The principle, the true principle of you reap what you sow. And we want to bring that into several different arenas of life. Arenas of life where typically we confront very difficult decisions. And arenas of life where God is trying to instruct us. And again, for those of you who struggle with God's instruction, you need to understand that He is a Father. And so in our lives, He's adopted us into His family. I don't care who you are, where you are today on this journey, He has made it possible for you to be adopted into His family if you will trust what Jesus Christ did for you. And He steps into your life and my life as a Father, and lovingly He's coming alongside and saying, let me teach you how to live better. Let me teach you how to use your life, not to bring destruction and pain into the lives of the people around you, but to bring joy and goodness. And so you come to this principle, that's exactly what He's doing. And throughout the Scriptures, there are several different areas of life where He spends a lot of time trying to instruct us. And what we want to do is walk through those areas for the next few weeks and see the decisions that lead to unbelievable amounts of pain and destruction, the decisions that lead to extreme love and joy and goodness and peace. Because the writer of Galatians knows that oftentimes, because we believe in karma, we look at the choice to love, and God is calling us to serve, or God is calling us, as we've been talking about here at Hoboken Grace for the last 4 weeks, to submit to one another, to give our lives for those around us, no matter their authority or how much strength they have, but to choose to submit to one another. And oftentimes you look at that and you think, man, if I'm bringing this into the world, I understand if I plant this, I'm going to harvest this, but what difference can this make? But what the writer of Galatians is saying to the church at Galatia is saying, listen, this isn't just what is going to come into the world when you choose to love. It's far greater than that. There's far more to that. And so we look at this mission that God's called us into here at Hoboken Grace, and sometimes on your own, you look at the decisions that you're making, and you look at the byproduct of it, or you look at what it's bringing into the lives of those around you, and you're not seeing the harvest yet, and you can become discouraged, and you can think it's not going to impact people the way that I'd hoped. But the writer of Galatians comes to us and says, yes, it will. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Just don't give up. Don't give up. Don't be fooled. It's a principle that should terrify us if we're walking away from God. When we find ourselves in those moments and we're tempted to live for our own selfish desires, tempted to live for ourselves. This principle should scare the living daylights out of us. But just as it should scare us, it should fill us with hope. It should fill us with hope. You can impact the world in far greater ways than you ever thought. Because your choices and that act of love, that act of selflessness, it won't return one for one. It brings exponentially good things into the world around you. Exponentially. And it may be a while before you see it. But the promise of God is this. It will come. So don't give up. The way that we're going to talk about it here at Hoboken Grace is to say, and you're going to hear us say it over and over again because I want to build it into our vocabulary as a family, consider the payout. And we've chosen this word payout because I think it kind of captures what we're talking about, but then in addition, we've broken it down to be able to mean that we consider over and over again as we engage these decisions, the principle of actual yield over undetermined time. the principle of actual yield, that is not one for one, but that it has an unlimited exponential capacity to yield in my life over undetermined time. Because here's the thing, you have no idea when it will end. You have no idea when it will end. When I was growing up, my cousins had a giant swimming pool. We had a lot of fun in the swimming pool, but it got a little expensive to maintain, and so my uncle decided he was going to fill it in. And at first, we were really sad because the pool was going away. But then we found out he was filling it in with sand. And so we ended up with a giant sandbox, like the biggest sandbox you could imagine. And we loved that sandbox. And again, I grew up on a farm, and so we would watch our dad's farm and watch our grandparents' farm. And we wanted to be like them, so we decided that we were going to farm as well. And this was our farm, our giant sandbox. So we divided it up into fields, and we would plant different things in different fields. It was an intense operation, okay? And we had our John Deere tractors and our plows and our planters, and so we'd go out, and we'd make sure that the land was just right, and we would plant our corn and our soybeans and everything else. And then we would take care of it throughout the year, and come harvest time, it would grow. It grew. Just like any other seed of corn. And so it would grow, and we would reap our harvest and do whatever it is that we did with it. I have no idea to this day. But we loved it. We enjoyed it. But then we grew up. And, you know, you grow up, you kind of move away from those things, and you turn 22, you know it's time to give up on it. But I remember we grew up, and everybody kind of just forgot about the sandbox. I remember a couple of years later coming back to my cousin's house, and all the kids were older, so no one really played in the sandbox anymore. No one really took care of it. And I remember looking out there and just laughing to myself, because the whole thing was full of wild corn. And that corn that we had planted had grown up, and then it would fall over in the winters, and it would replant itself. And slowly but surely, it just spread throughout that whole sandbox. You have no idea when it will stop, for good or for bad. And you see this throughout the Scriptures. One of the things that the Scriptures are trying to do in the Old Testament was to help you to see that your decisions not only impact your life, but they have a trickle-down effect throughout generations. And so you would see how one man's decisions or one woman's decisions had the ability to impact generations of people. And the harvest just kept coming. Sometimes in beautiful ways, sometimes in destructive ways. Consider the payout. Consider the payout. And may we begin to move into our decisions with a hope that we didn't have before. Because we know that they have the capability to produce exponentially in our lives. And as Jesus Christ brings this to you and to me, may we learn from him and begin to bring this truth into our lives in a way that will allow us to bring unbelievable beauty, unbelievable goodness, unbelievable joy, unbelievable truth into the lives of those around us. And may they be able to see who God is by the way that we live. Will you pray with me? Father, I pray that as we walk through this, that the truth of this principle would move beyond just our intellect, and that it would begin to penetrate our heart, that we would understand that you don't just bring this to us to be able to present us with the destruction that can come with our decisions, but that you bring this to us to bring unbelievable hope into our decision-making process. And in those moments where we think, what What difference could I really make? What impact could I really make for us to be able to look to this passage and this truth that you've given us? That our decisions produce exponentially. Our actions produce exponentially. And Father, I pray that as we move forward in this conversation, that we would begin to look at this with anticipation, that we would begin to cling to this promise, knowing that this drastically impacts the way that we look at potential, and this drastically impacts the way that we look at our mission. Father, I thank you for the fact that you love us enough to constantly work in our lives to teach us the truth. The truth about who you are, the truth about who we are, the truth about how we can walk with you in this world and bring your beauty and your goodness to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.